Okay, hello guys, and welcome to episode 2 of the RTD podcast. So today I'm one of your hosts, Dammy. Guys, you want to say hello to the people? Let's start this. That is a word for my intro, man.
What's up, guys?
Told you to say hello to the people.
But, my name is Samuel. What's up? Also known as Dr. Cube.
Come on.
Yeah. Do.
Check out.
Yeah.
My name is Joshua. Also known as The Good Cell on YouTube.
Hey.
For formerly.
Come on.
It's been a minute, but yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a bit.
Yeah, so guys, what's been going on this past week in your lives? What's happening?
To be honest, I've just been busy.
Point out that it's 17 degrees, or it was 17 degrees today.
Global warming is so...
on this
day. Yo, it's true, like, on this same, very same day, it was snowing.
What?
Just have to let you guys know that the world is dying, but yeah, we will.
What do you think will happen first? Will be gone, or the earth will be gone?
Will be gone. I won't be here.
The earth will take us with it.
I mean, humans in general.
Oh no. No, the earth is going to pack up.
The earth is going to go. Yeah. We're going to run out of resources
before the earth.
So the earth will run out before us, basically. And we'll go into a mode where every man for himself.
It was crazy. Like 2012, when they said the world was gonna end in December 2012. Everyone was scared. But now they're telling us like the world is actually going to end if we don't stop. And no one cares.
I saw a tweet, someone was like, can you see how we've met damage the world, and someone was like, can you relax, go and have a McFlurry or something.
Besides that though, my week's been chill. I mean, what started off, there's a bunch of essays to do, but
can't you relate.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Samuel,
We don't need your whatever you do.
Can't relate at all.
You man
are still doing a degree.
Yes.
Damn.
Damn.
It's so long.
Oh, man, it's just uni, man. It's mad. Can't wait to get it done.
Uni students. With you guys.
All young time in.
Man. It's so funny because when I was in uni, I used to think I was like some really old person.
Wait,
but
I'm
once
old
I'm
person,
out,
I don't know what you
say. And now I'm saying
I'm
like,
grown.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Besides that, my week has been cool. But I woke up really early this morning to go to the gym. So I was there by like 6 a.m. in the morning.
Dedication.
6 a.m. What is that? 6 a.m.
Yeah.
But yeah. My week was all right. No essays or any of that.
Because you're a free
just
man.
Bro. Work. Just work. Actually, this week I was talking with someone at my work about our topic, which is obviously that do we really understand what it means to take a life related to all the of murders that have been happening recently in the UK, even though the media was centered mainly around London. So we started talking, and obviously all of us were raised in Christian households, right? So I started thinking about the story of Cain and Abel, and how Cain was the first person to ever murder someone. So I asked my colleague if they thought if or not even if that do you how do you think Cain knew that he actually had the power, the physical power to take someone's a human's life.
It's a bit of a juicy one, bro. Jeez, getting philosophical on us.
So I put that question to you guys. How do you guys think he really knew that it was even possible? Because murder was like unheard of at that time.
Quick question, yeah. No, this question, this isn't for me,
right?
Because I read my Bible. Well, for the people that know, that is the story of Cain and Abel.
Okay, right. So there's the story of Cain and Abel was to put it in a layman's term and a updated version, both of them were trying to make their lives, whether that be farming or rearing cattle. And they, according to their religious upbringing, that they were taking a portion of their, let's say, earnings and offering up to God. And this story goes that God was more pleased with Abel's offering because he gave out his best calves, whereas Cain gave like the fruit that that wasn't good enough to eat or sell. He used those as offering. Cain got jealous of God being pleased with Abel, his brother. One day he convinced him to go out into the fields with him and killed him.
Like a savage. Savage.
Yeah, so that's the story.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Where do you want to take it from?
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, like, you know, the whole story with Cain and Abel is just a bit mad. Like, because you have to think as well, like, not even how did he know that he could kill, but how did he know the emotions of jealousy and, like, all of those different like negative emotions.
Right.
When people,
true, yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like all they've known in the Garden of Eden was love. Like that's all they've known. That's all they've been exposed to. Then as soon as they leave, then all these negative emotions start breeding in them.
Right.
I feel like that's like a deeper sense of it as well. Like, why do we have these negative emotions that lead up to, you know, this intent to kill someone?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just like it's your brother as well. Like, man.
So what would you argue? Would you say taking another person's life is nature and nurture?
Right.
Then you come down to it. Like, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that question, isn't it? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, how do you... Like, for Cain and Abel, how can you say that it's nurture when they weren't exposed to it before?
Exactly.
But then in the modern... I mean,
yeah, go on.
No, carry on, sorry.
So, some people could argue that at that time, farming and rearing of and animals was like one of the main occupations, so they would have been exposed to this slaughtering of animals, and I guess that would kind of expose them to taking a life, but the psychology of slaughtering an animal for food and murder, of course, are like very different.
Very different.
I think, like, I use, like, you know, because there are loads of children in the church you go to. I'll say, like, okay. Like, you know that stuff you used to do when you were a child, and like you have a sibling, and then you wait for them to finish their food first before you finish yours, so you can be the last one eating.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All of that stuff. Yeah. Those kind of like mannerisms. Like, where do they learn them from? That's why I feel like jealousy and all those things. Like, sometimes it's not learned. It's like human nature. Like, it's right. Who we are. Because a lot of the like. How do I put it?
Is that a sense of having to compete with one another?
Like, I don't think anyone needs to be taught that. It's just part of who we are.
It's in our DNA.
Kendrick Lamar plug.
Mine has...
It's interesting because I was actually thinking of it. If they've never seen someone kill anything before,
right?
What would lead them to do such an action,
right?
And possibly, I don't want to read. I would say I want to read in between the lines,
right? Yeah,
and think of Cain being in positions where Abel has been like the favorite. You know, like you have firstborn and lastborn.
Right.
And sometimes they normally favor the last one because he's the last child in the house.
Yeah.
So it's possible that when he got to that stage, it's been a built up thing that he's had. Like, he's had like this resent against his brother for as long as we could imagine. And at that point, it was probably his boiling point. Like, that was it. He couldn't take it anymore. Because imagine bringing your harvest to the Almighty God,
right,
and he doesn't accept it. He accepts your brothers, and it's probably been a constant thing. And this is like the peak of your recognition. At that moment, bless you. At that moment where you wanted to get it, like at that moment where you wanted to be seen as your sacrifice being something of honor to God, it wasn't accepted. Yeah, it wasn't worthy. And what do you do then? That's the peak of your recognition. At that point, you didn't get it. And the person who got it was your second brother, was your younger brother. And also, that feeling must have been there for a while. So there, he snapped and then did that.
But on that, on that though, would you say like I want to kind of bring it into the modern world, right? So would you say like when someone commits a murder, like there's a build up, like I'm guessing what you were talking about was like this sort of build up of resentment sort of made him just snap, and then that's when he just resorted to killing his brother, right? So would you say like in the modern world then that you can look at murders and say that, okay, like this person has a certain, like a buildup of emotions, like it's different emotions that have come that pushes them to kill? Or would you say there's some other influences there? Like, is it natural that we just want to do harm to another person, or does it come from a buildup of emotions?
That, right? Human beings are so complex, right? So not every situation is the same. So for one person, it could be that they have some type of remorse or resent against someone that makes them to do an action. Right. And then you have some who have disorders where they aren't able to do things like normal human beings. So they may look at a human being and see him as an object and feel like, oh, if I poke him with this knife, what would happen? Mm-hmm. Blood comes out. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean?
That's
why you see sometimes you hear stories of killers who have ended up in psych wards instead of prison, because
do you want to hear them? Ted Bundy.
Yeah, yeah.
There like was some Ted other Bundy. Guy I was watching. Sorry, not to just. I'll come back to. Like, I'll hand it back to you. But there's some guy I was watching here, and he used to. There's even one right now. Where, like, did you see the story of two black men dying in his apartment?
Oh, yeah.
That politician. He gives money to whatever, yeah. Two people have died in his apartment, but nothing's happened to him. Mm. And there was this serial killer back then that he used to get a lot of black men. He said it wasn't racially motivated, but the majority of his victims were black men. And he would skin them. And keep their skulls as a what do you call it? He'll pray to like an altar. He'll pray to. So the reason they did nothing to him. He just used to kill them for the sick fun of it.
So there was no motive. There was no like it wasn't out of him reacting to something they did. It was just him being
sick.
Right. I think we also, I guess, if we're talking about the build-up of emotions, right, we often look over that a build-up of emotions doesn't necessarily have to be towards a certain person. I think circumstances and situations that a lot of black people commonly find themselves in through no fault of their own can also drive, I don't want willingness, but it can drive you to do things you thought you would never do.
Yeah. So would you say that's the case with Cain and Abel then? Would you say he was in that sort of mindset that you were just describing now?
Right. I think his case, I think to us, certain degree, he didn't know exactly what would happen, but I think that rage and resentment drove him to an action, and it kind of clouded his ability of foresight of what would happen once he takes this action. So for example, if we're reading between the lines, let's a knife, like I'm sure knows or has experienced the fact that knives can cause harm or pain, but not necessarily death, because that's that was unheard of at this time. So to an extent, you could argue that yes, he wanted to cause harm to his brother in this rage of his, but I find it hard to think that his intention was actually to take his life. But then again, at the same time, ignorance isn't an excuse.
I mean, it's funny. It's funny that you say about him, like, not knowing that, you know, having that knife could inflict death. So, obviously, if you guys don't know, like, follow us on our Twitter page, RT Debates. We asked a question there, and on our Snapchat, like our individual Snapchat forums, and someone basically sent me a reply. And what they said was that we don't know the consequences of what we do. So, like, going to Cain, he didn't understand, as you said, that, you know, having this knife and putting it and, you know, stabbing his brother would result in him dying. And that there needs to be, and this is transitioning into a modern world, that most of the people nowadays don't really understand the consequences of what they're doing. And that needs to be more education for people to realize that, look, you know, once that person is dead, coming back from that, like, once you catch a body, that's it. So,
No, I was wondering if you're talking in terms of murder or in general.
No. I'm just saying what the person sent to me. So that's what they were just saying, which is along the lines of what Jordan was saying, that, you know, Cain didn't understand the repercussions, really, of what he was doing until it was too late. So I think that's a very interesting point when it comes to, like, this whole, like, nature versus nurture argument with, you know, murder. Like, does that person, like, I mean, obviously nowadays we do know that, you know, once someone is dead, they're dead. But back then, in a fairly new concept, did Cain really understand what it meant to have taken his brother's life?
Just for context sake, again, for the people that don't know about the story, what position, like, Cain and Abel, who did they come after? I don't know who was around at the time they were around. I think they came after Adam and Eve. They were offsprings of Adam and Eve.
So it was Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. I guess
in so, like, they didn't know death. They didn't know murder. They didn't know anything.
I mean, but surely, I don't know. I find
that's the thing. Like, I don't want to drift too much into making an excuse for anyone that committed. That's why I'm only. I only feel like this argument could only work for Cain, the Cain and Abel situation. Anyone after? Because to me, murder is such a big thing. Like, you literally
taking a life,
like that's the end of that person.
Right. Right. Should we move the discussion now to? So we've discussed the Cain and Abel thing, like about Cain not really knowing the repercussions of what he was doing, but that he was exposed to, you know, taking some sort of life, being the animal's life. But let's move it more to a modern, like, discussion now, and bringing it to, you know, the murder rate in London. I mean, the UK, actually. Let's not keep it to London. So, yeah, so, like, what would you say is the reason why we're seeing such a... Like, why killing someone almost seems so easy? Like, why do people... They don't seem to care, almost, about taking someone else's life?
To me, I believe we've separated the... We've desensitized ourselves to murder. That's the word I was going to use. Because we... Like, I even found myself... It was not, and this is wrong to say, but it was, I'm just going to be honest here. You know, extended president.
Yeah.
Mm. It wasn't, when he died, that was like the first time in a long time that I'd actually felt pain from someone's death. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, it shouldn't be until it's someone that I like.
Yeah.
That I feel pain towards someone's death. And then every death after that now, like whenever someone dies, it hits me because I start thinking like, oh, the family of that person or whatever. But so, like, I feel like in this day and age, no one, like once someone's dead, it's like, oh, he's dead. Oh, well, like that's how it is. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like it's so easy for them to commit these acts. They no longer value life.
I think that's a misconception because you have to think most of the people who are involved in these murders, they're partaking in a certain lifestyle. Which means typically they know someone who's fairly close who has been murdered or they've experienced death in any other form. So I think it's kind of a false narrative to say that they don't know what they're doing because they've the outcome of it and also like usually a lot of the highly publicized murders from last year in London, the number of times these people were being wasn't one or two and it wasn't by one person. Like for example, last year on my road there was this friend that was going to uni. Like he was a student and he got murdered. They shot and stabbed him. So I think if we're hearing these kinds of cases, I think if you're shooting and stabbing someone, you're in,
you know what you're
intending
doing.
To kill them. Like,
yeah, you know what you're
maybe,
doing.
maybe what I said, I didn't make, like, and I'm not saying that they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I believe they know, they just don't care.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that either. I think there's like a kind of tension in the air. I know the that's not a word. All the publicized murders in London has kind of hurt in a way that it's gotten people more fearful of their lives. So these people who are partaking in a certain lifestyle, right? If they go and quote unquote ride out on their ops, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a part of them that's like, if I do this, I can't go there and let this person live because they'll cover, and when they do, they'll come try to find me, and I can't be let me live if the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of makes a situation of like old Western movies. The first to draw their weapon wins, basically.
Yeah. I mean, if I may add to what you said, Jordan, I remember watching a documentary by, I think it was Jermaine Genus. He was talking about the murder of Nottingham. And
where?
This guy in Nottingham.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so they interviewed this guy, like a young boy. I think he was still in secondary school, just about to leave. And I think that's what made it scarier, in fact, because he was carrying around a weapon, like a proper, like a blade, like a proper knife. And he was saying that, well, you know, he has someone that he had an argument with and it escalated, and the person got one of his friends. So now he's going around looking for that person, right?
Right.
And, you know, Mr. Genus asked him that, look, what happens if you stab this person and then they die? Then you've got the entire group coming after you, and then the cycle just continues.
Exactly.
So I think it goes back to that thing, right, that, you know, with the murder rate that we're seeing in the UK, it's less a situation, it's part of the situation that we're desensitized to it because we see it so much, it's in our media, it's everywhere. But it's also a situation that we don't really understand, or we choose not to recognize. Like, if someone,
right.
I remember when we were talking about, like, the beef that, you know, London gangs have, or gangs in general, right?
Right.
Once someone dies, there's no coming back from that. There really is no coming back from that. So I feel like the main reason, you know, we don't understand what it means to commit murder, purely because we choose not to look at the repercussions. We choose not to care about the repercussions, or rather we just, like what you're saying, if you're riding on your op, you just want to get him down and make sure that he doesn't come back on you.
Right.
But then you forget that he has boys as well that would then come after your boys, and the circle just keeps going. Like that happened to a guy that I used to play football with. Well, we were in the same team, but different teams, but same club. And his school, the year above, so I think I was in year 9 at the time, and he was in year 10, but the year 11s had beef with another school. They stabbed someone in that other school, but the person didn't die. So then what happened was that school came back, and then they were just looking for someone from the same school as the guy that
like,
yeah, they were just looking for someone, right? And I think maybe they're mistaken his identity or whatever, but they found this guy and unfortunately stabbed him and killed him, and he had nothing to do with it, right? And I remember the feeling around that time, right, that, you know, where is this going to end? Do you get what I mean? There's that question, like, where is this going to end? And that's, I think that's the scariest part about, like, murder in general. It's like, where is it going to end? Especially what we're seeing in the Black community with, you know, young Black boys and girls being stabbed and doing the stabbing. It's, where is it going to end?
Or what is that leading on to solutions? Like,
I mean, we could talk solutions.
What would you think the solution to this would be?
For what?
Specifically murder within the Black community, like in the UK.
I don't know, go on, bro.
So I remember I was in court one day, and I remember having this conversation with someone, and they were like, what would be the solution? What would you say is the solution that we could do to tackle knife crime and things like this? And then someone was talking about having things like mentorship schemes and all of that. And when he mentioned it, it sounded like a great idea at first, but then sometimes you see like how most of the older generation are not connected, or it almost seems very, what's the word I'm looking for? It seems very, it seems very
disconnected.
Cliche. Yeah, very disconnected. It's like,
how is that different from far from? What are you talking about?
What'd you say? I didn't even hear what you said. Far from, as I was saying. Yeah, they seem very, yeah. they seem very disconnected from the youth. So, issues that we would have, right, issues we would try and explain to them, when we do talk to them about it, they'll be like, it's nothing serious. It's not a big deal. Like, what you guys are mentioning doesn't seem like it's so life-threatening. So, yeah, there's a disconnect. I don't feel like the elder generation could help in that sense. And also, I don't feel like it comes down to things like mentoring, because how are you going to tell someone, okay, if one of my friends got killed by someone, or my brother, God forbid, if someone I know, if someone in my family got stabbed or got murdered by someone out of them being a target, right? Are you going to try and tell me? Are you going to try and tell that person? How are you going to tell them? Okay,
I'm joking.
How are you going to tell someone in that position, or that mentoring will be the way forward for you? It's not going to work.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how does it end? Like, you don't know where it ends. Like,
do you know?
It depends on where you want to take it to. So,
to me, a solution I have is acknowledging the actual issue. Because, okay, I'll use an example. When I worked for NCS, we stayed in Tottenham, and then they brought a wave over, and most of them were from Enfield. So before this happened, I never knew that there was anything. Like, I'm not very familiar with places that don't agree with each other or have beef. So like Enfield and Tottenham had beef. So when the Enfield people stayed in the uni accommodation in Tottenham, the people in Tottenham, like not even like on the NCS course, like random people in Tottenham found out they were there and broke in and tried, I don't even want to say this on here, what would they try to do? It wasn't pleasant. I was just thinking, like, I'm not getting paid enough to die. So I just ran to my room. But when I was sitting down and we were thinking, like, why is this even happening? NCS, to me, they were fully aware that you can't put certain people in certain areas. They just didn't care. And like, on a wider scale, if you really want to tackle a problem, acknowledge that it's there. Not, don't just try and, like, okay, like what someone said now, mentoring, yeah, okay, what's that gonna do? If someone's lost someone and then you know they're fully out for revenge, mentoring will do what? That's why I'm not sure, like, I'm not saying I have the perfect solution, but to me, it's acknowledging it. Like, I don't know if you remember, there was a boy that he was on a moped and he got stabbed by some guys.
Right.
The media is quick to just post a picture of him throwing up gang signs or holding an alcoholic drink. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we listen.
Holding up an alcoholic drink, like, they don't really care. That's why I think they might portray fake outrage, but to me, if not for the fact that they had to say that they care, I don't think they really do.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely. How about you guys?
Is that social disconnect though, isn't there? I mean, like, I've experienced it, like, personally, like, when you're talking to, like, and this isn't to be racist or anything, right? Mm-hmm. But you know when you go to, like, a uni party, right? And you see, like, white girls, and they're smoking weed or they're doing drugs, right? And, you know, the way that they, I don't know how to say it, but the way that they things without having to suffer, how we got there in the first place and stuff like that, you know, that makes me, I don't know if it gets me angry or I don't know how to explain, like, the emotions that I have just talking about it now, because it's like you have, and you know, before I used to sort of blame the guys that do it, and most of them are black, unfortunately, but I used to blame them to think, you know, this life, you don't have to choose it. And that's what you hear the media, like what you're saying, Joshua, about, you know, they tell you, oh, you don't have to do this. They don't choose to acknowledge it, right? But the thing is, right, these are guys that probably growing up in, you know, with one parent, or even if they're growing up with both parents, the parents can't really provide everything for them that they would like. And parents, you know, they want to provide those things for their kids as well, but they just can't. And then you get an opportunity to just go on a bike or a moped or in a car. You put a little bag in your coat or whatever. You go to another house or another destination, you drop it off, and already you get like 2,000. Like, that seems like the best job ever, let's be honest.
Right.
Right? But then there's the dangers that come with it. Like, you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to get caught selling drugs in someone else's territory, because then that can have bad repercussions, right? And all these different things. And then at the end of the day, you see at the end of the chain, it's like the middle to upper class, the people that have the money. You know, they're then celebrating and smoking and all of this stuff. And yet, the people that are facing that actual risk, they can't, their problems aren't being acknowledged where they can get out of that situation. And I feel like that's sad as well, because then once you get trapped in that circle, it's really, really incredibly difficult. And you see all these documentaries that they'll say, oh, you have the talent and everything. But when you actually look at it, it's so difficult to get out of that cycle. So I don't think there is a perfect solution to it, apart from, as Joshua said, you know, you acknowledge it, and then maybe with that acknowledgement, you mix in a bit of mentorship. But the mentorship as well shouldn't come from old white men.
Exactly.
It should come from people that these guys can relate to. Do you know what I mean? Like, it needs to come from people that these guys can relate to, because how are you going to tell, you know, Jerome that, oh, you need to go to uni or whatever, and then the person telling him is someone that went to Oxford? Like, she's not going to understand that, you know?
Also, I feel like with this type of thing, you have to be realistic as well. You know, I don't feel there will ever be, like, it will ever end.
Right.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But it may not be that we need to end it, but we can reduce it.
Right.
If there's a reduction, and it's God, I know it's now me saying, okay, like, these people are, like, this is a body of someone dying. But if we can reduce the death toll, or
reduce the amount of people going out with weapons and make it very minimal. That would be better than what it is at the moment. So if we have realistic means, mentoring, all of these things, like they all come together. So we have opportunities for people to find different ways of expressing their anger, or like therapy, or all of these little things. And also, sometimes some people are unredeemable. Like, right, there's nothing you can do. You can say, all right, I want to mentor this person, but this person is so far gone, like he's a lost cause. Some people are just, like we were saying before, that nature and nurture stuff about, does someone know whether they are killing someone?
Right.
Or like whether they just feel like, okay, if I put a knife in someone, okay, blood is going to come out of their body. Some people are like that, right, the ones who are, exactly, killing people right now. So it's not like they have any remorse for what they're doing.
Right.
It's just they're so far gone that they even, like, there's no point even trying to redeem them in the first place. So if we can find a way of reducing it, finding other factors to help as well, then that's more than an improvement in my eyes. That's how I see it.
Do you think we need to educate people, like, I don't know, like primary school kids or secondary, yep, school kids, on the consequences of, you know, carrying a knife and stuff? So get them when they're young, really.
I think, yes, we should start off away earlier, but then we also run the risk of having children, giving them responsibilities that a child really should have to think of. But I think Samuel said something very important that we can't be enough, and that is that we can't save everyone. Like, we don't in this youth topic world, so we know that not happen. We just can't save everyone. I should start off earlier with primary school, the same way that they introduce topics regarding sex and relationships in, I think we should include, I don't even know what to call it, but just teach them how to move appropriately in this world, and teach them what's going on and the dangers of what's going on. But I think the most important is now with the rise of social, there should be no reason that there's no a sense of familiarity between youths, because I don't think, well, I think of think twice about causing harm to someone who they've encountered outside of are looking at them as an enemy from a different area or postcode. I don't think these kids should be introduced to each other off rip as an enemy. They're just like, for example, when I was, I used to play football in the park, basketball in the park. There's some faces from then that I still recognize to this day, 10 years later. I think that has a lasting impact that would, you know, deter some of this violence, but it, and I think it would definitely cause some people to and maybe think about their actions a bit more. People who have accepted that come with a life, they've decided to lead. We need to get some of them and rehabilitate them and get them to talk to youth, because we can't have people, they can't relate,
connect,
or connect to just talking at them in a language and with ideologies that are basically foreign to them.
So do you think that will work though? And what I mean is, like, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, but I mean in terms of rehabilitating, you know, guys that have gone, like the ones that you can save. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at like drill artists, for example, right? If you make a living rapping about a certain kind of life, right? Then how am I supposed to then come to you and tell you that, look, what you've experienced, what your life has been about until this point, you need to change that. This is not the right way to live and stuff like that, right? What do you think I can then offer if I was to rehab you, someone in that situation? What can I offer as an alternative to that life that you've been living?
I have the perfect example of a rapper, right? Pusha T, right? For years, he's been rapping about dealing cocaine, right? But more recently, not even recently, over the past, let's say, 7 to 10 years, right? His content is still about selling
the white
cocaine, but he but
cocaine
at the same time he mentions the pitfalls, the good, the bad, and the ugly in a way that you can't really say it promotes that life anymore. So I think there's a way that you can be almost a representative of the person you used to be, but with added hindsight and with all the experience. But I think they would have to focus on the truth and the things the real also that just because they have now changed and they've been rehabilitated, that doesn't mean that their past isn't still around. Like,
yeah, but how can I be a drill artist though and not live that life? Because surely at that point,
are you that asking me that?
Fake, no? No, I'm saying like
people don't care.
No, but what I'm saying is if I'm a rapper. No, but what I'm saying is right, if I used to be a gangbanger, right? And then that's what I've been rapping about. I've been rapping about the ops. I've been rapping about all of this, right? And then now that things have got good for me, I then still want to be rapping about those stuff, but I don't even touch it and stuff like that. I mean, like, if you look at this guy, AM, for example, he released a song, right, that wasn't, like, if I didn't know who AM was, right, I wouldn't say, I forgot the name of the song now, right? But if I didn't know who AM was, like, it's actually a song that it's not a drill song per se. You get what I mean? It's not like a typical drill song, right? So what I'm saying is, I feel like drill artists and guys that are living that lifestyle, and what you said with Pusha T makes 100% sense, right?
Yeah.
You can still talk about that life as well, but at the same time, you could talk about that life in a way where you're not glamorizing it.
Right, exactly.
You're not saying that, oh, you know, we stab up these people for fun and stuff like that. But you're talking about like the way Pac and Biggie used to talk about, you know, their struggles with the police. You're talking about it from this sort of philosophical position, rather than, you know, I'm championing a lifestyle that really isn't healthy for anyone.
Right.
But what do you think? Like,
I think even you could focus on the repercussions of your actions, like,
yes, exactly, yeah.
For example, a very common lyric in these drill songs is something like, the ops got one of ours, so we got two of theirs. You can focus on the fact they got one of and what that did to you, families, and etc. You don't always have to on the revenge aspect of it.
Yeah.
I mean, some artists do.
Yeah.
You know, like some artists do that, right? But like I said, every single person has their own take on things, you know, like everyone's gonna talk from their own perspective.
Exactly.
And I feel like this will be a very interesting topic to delve in, because I feel like I'm against what you call it. Like, I feel like people should be able to talk about their experiences, or music as a whole. We can't just say that drill music is promoting these gun violence and everything, because most times they're only talking from their experience of what they've gone through. And also, you've seen other genres of music where they've spoken about their own experiences as well. So I don't feel like only drill music should be demonized for them speaking about their experiences. That's my take on that.
You know what? That's you summed it up in what you said earlier, that is a topic that we should go into. So, you know, I want to ask you guys for your final thoughts. You know, we've spoken about Cain and Abel, we've spoken about nature versus nurture, and we've spoken about what we think are our solutions, and touched a little bit upon, you know, the influence on the media. So I want to hear what you guys, you know, what are your final thoughts on this? Like, do we really understand what it means to murder? Or to commit murder, rather, sorry.
I'm not sure. I don't think we really do. Because the only way I think we would only realize it is if after the murder, something is taken away from us.
Right.
So if there's some sort of punishment, because through punishment, where, okay, you get life for killing someone, that means you don't have anything else. Like, you can't function again. You can't function as you were as a normal human being, because you've been sentenced to life. So if in that way, like, once you've done something bad, on the other side, something bad happens to you, like, you're punished for it, then that's the only way you will learn, to be honest. That's how I feel. Or you'll realize that what I've done is bad because that my action caused this to happen.
Right, yeah.
Jordan?
Well, I guess for my summarization, I'll just quote one of my favorite spoken word verses is by this black woman called Jasmine Manns. Have you guys heard of her?
I think so.
Well, definitely check her out. But she had this spoken word verse called "I don't mean to kill him," and one of the lines is someone baby became a murderer last night, and none of us remembered cry for him or pray for him to ask God to take the hate and malice out of his heart. And another part of it says mother is gonna have to find the audacity to not her son's picture when company comes over. Talking about the mother of the murderer. So just to put that into a different perspective, like, murder is such a red line that I think as soon as we hear of someone murdering a person, we have all these thoughts of this evil, almost unhuman creature that we see as a murderer. Whereas I guess this whole debate kind of gives light to why that always be the case.
So yeah, definitely I agree, man.
you know
what's funny? You know what's funny, right? Sorry. We always say, okay, we're going to make sure this podcast is really short. But have you seen how many minutes you spent?
Never happened.
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
And what about Joshua, you? Do you...
Dami.
Huh?
What about you? What are your final thoughts?
I mean, to be fair, I think when the conversation ended up, I still have a lot more saved for our next week's discussion. Because, like, it's really, like, this topic, like, I don't think it's something that you could really discuss in the time that we had. In terms of, like, I agree 100%. Like, we really don't understand, you know, the implications or we choose not to. And because of, you know, social factors, economic factors, all those different things, it ends up being, you know, a situation where people get trapped in a cycle that they can't get out of.
Mm.
And then because of that murder then becomes sort of a daily occurrence. Like, if you think about it, it's like if you are in, you know, if you're in a war zone or something, let's say like Syria, for example, right?
Right.
Like, you see on TV, you see little kids, right? And, you know, with the wars are going around them, these kids are, they're so desensitized to it, like, because it's something that they've experienced every day, really, for the majority of their life. Right. So I feel like with people that do commit murder on a daily, like, not daily, but they commit it frequently or it's part of their lives, because it's so ingrained to their surroundings, they can't, I don't want to say they don't know the consequences, because they do, but they don't feel the emotions that someone like you and I will. They don't feel that, okay, you know, just because this person's from a different ends for me, I take their life, you know, their mom, their dad, all of these people are going to be affected by it. We don't really understand the consequences.
Right.
So I think there's that element that, you know, murder now, because it's become such a common factor in our society, you know, normal people, should we say, people that aren't exposed to it all the time, we've become desensitized to it, but we understand the repercussions of it. But then people that actively partake in it, like gang members or criminals and stuff like that, they don't really care about what happens. And it's only, unfortunately, until when it's too late, then that's when they start to realize. So I think murder is a very interesting topic. It's very psychological as well, and I think it comes from the individual to understand it themselves. Like, no matter what you try to surround them with, whether it's mentorship or anything, I think it comes from within the individual to decide for themselves what path they want to go down.
Right.
So yeah, free will, 100%. So
that's another whole topic. The idea of can you guys hear me or not?
Yeah, no, I can still hear you, sorry.
I can hear you as well.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for you to carry on, sorry.
No, that was it.
All right.
I just think we should have a topic on free will and whether we believe it's that free will exists or not.
That is very interesting, because that leads into a whole argument that me and my brother would have.
Really?
about like the Book of Life. So if the Book of Life has already been written, right?
Right, exactly.
Are all of the things that we've done so far, like, are we just living a script? So we're basically actors in God's book,
right?
So if that's the case, how are we made, like, making our own actions through free will? And also, if that is also the case, how is it some people go to heaven and some people go to hell if the book has already been written?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's another topic for another day.
Another day.
Joshua.
Nope.
Nope.
That door is gone.
No, right.
Joshua just had to go somewhere quickly, innit?
Yeah. Had to go do that research.
Word.
Right, guys. So you've heard it from us on, you know, the topic today. You know, do we know what it means to commit murder? If you want to let us know your opinions, please go and follow us on Twitter. You can find our handle in the description of our podcast. Please follow us there. DM us. Let us know your opinions. And also stay in touch there, so then you can keep up with, you know, our topics and, you know, share your opinions with us and all of that. So yeah, thank you guys for joining in, and we hope to see you next week. That's bye from me, boys.
I was waiting for you to say this was from me, Dami. I'm back.
Oh, yeah. Bro, it's a YouTube thing, isn't it? Like, you got foot. It's a chain thing, bro. No. So remember to like and subscribe. But yeah, all right.
Comment, like, share.
Yeah, comment, like, share, all that.
Subscribe, all of that.
But yeah, so this is bye from me, Dami.
Thanks for listening, guys. Until next week.
From adios,
Jordan.
All right, see you guys later. Yeah,
hold it.
Next week.
Bye bye.
Hey guys, welcome to our mini segment, and this is a part of the podcast where we essentially address something that happened in the news. So today we're going to be talking about Jussie Smollett and whether he actually, or like the situation regarding what's happening with him. So basically he, or his claim that he lied about being attacked, I think about a month ago. I'm not sure if it's at the beginning of Feb.
Yeah.
But then like a lot of stories are coming out that he lied. Other stories are coming out that he didn't lie. So yeah, we're just going to talk about that.
What's the truth?
That's what we all want to know.
It's really mad. I mean, it'll be disappointing. It's the whole thing.
It'll be really disappointing if he lied.
Yeah, like, I'm hoping that he didn't lie, because he'll be really stupid too. Like, I don't believe anyone can be that stupid.
Like, surely, like, you can't put your whole career on the line.
Yeah, like, what? Like, why?
The whole thing.
I mean, did he hit the reason why? Like Empire why?
Because he wasn't getting paid enough.
Yeah, mad.
But like, this is why he would think that would like get him more money, I guess.
Right. No, this is gonna be conspiracy theory, but I think more people are in on it than we know. I think they probably knew that they were writing him out Empire, and this as a to do it attention to both Empire and him once he's left Empire.
You think that's the case? For him to end up in jail.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying, man. It's not worth it if it's true.
Because
if it's not worth it, if it's true, though, like,
because you said Warnock came out. He told the police that he has a untreated drug problem.
He's not serious. Like, it's one is the little bit, two, he's not white, so they're not gonna listen to
him. Yeah. There's no mental illness here.
There's no mental illness, no drug problem that can excuse him of this.
Yeah. Like, it just sets this sort of bad, precedent. Like, if it turns out that he did lie, then imagine how many people out there actually have horrific like that happened to them.
Right, that's one.
Like,
two.
It just,
it's a mockery to
and
them.
And it opens up like a what do you call it? You know, he claimed that it was MAGA, like Make America Great Again, like those kind of people.
Yeah.
And if he actually lied about it, that means they did nothing. And they can always say, oh, look how that guy lied about us. So really, we're just peaceful people.
I think this is my... What?
No, rewind that. Tell that guy, look at that black guy. What are they going to say?
Yes, so that's one of my main with ignorance in our communities. I think I just have a big problem with a black people giving or white people or anyone who has an agenda to, I guess, to dismiss our issues an ammo to use against us. And, and I think that if we do find out that this was all lies, that this will just be something that they can point to this real cases of hate crime or whatever against not only people but gay and like if we do find out that he's lied, what does that mean, like, for him? Like,
bro, he's out, man. He's out. Like, he's out.
Do you think they'll take his verification from him on this?
His verification.
Man, he deserves everything taken. Like, if it's fake, right? Then he deserves, like, because it just means that he's a terrible human being.
Yeah,
exactly. Like number one. Like number one.
Everything we've been doing is like he just ran 50 steps back.
That's what I'm saying. Like it just means that he's a terrible person. Like you can't. Number one, you're taking a piss out of, you know, people that have actually been attacked. You know, you're taking a piss out of black people that have been attacked.
And he's taking a piss.
Yeah, like, and then after you then come back to a concert and you say your doctor cleared you and that you fought back and all of that. I'm sorry, but if I'm putting that out there, if this is wrong, if it shows that he lied, right, he deserves the worst. But if it's something that, let's say he was telling the truth, then fair enough. Do you get what I mean? If he told the truth, fair enough. But if he lied, then I don't know. I don't see anything like that good that can happen out of this if he lied. And the two guys that did it as well were Nigerian too, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even with that, yeah. Do you see how they put them in the news?
Like, yeah. What if they were American-born Nigerians? Mm-hmm. You know. But to remove all, what you call it, association, they put Nigerian.
Yeah, we should be used to that though. When we do something right, the colonizers would always love claiming us, whereas when Africans or Caribbean, when we do something wrong, like it's like that.
The whole thing feels like an Empire episode.
Well,
yeah.
Like, it's so extravagant. Lucius, the whole thing.
Somewhere loading his gun right now as we speak.
You ain't nothing but a snitch.
Did you see his interview where he was crying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when like, he was doing it, when he was doing it, and then it came out that he's lying, I was like, damn, this guy's a good actor. Then I remembered, this guy is actually an actor. And he was crying, saying, oh, this guy is not serious, man.
What if he was practicing for gold, though?
Huh?
Like, maybe the story in Empire is going to have him do something like this. So he thought, let me practice in real life.
He's great. Nah, it's not worth it. Empire. No one even watches that show anymore.
You know what, yeah? That actually be something to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things like that happen more often than we realize. And it happens so much that even look at when XXX died. Rest in peace. People thought, oh, he's just shooting a music video.
Mm-hmm.
Even,
yeah, I remember that actually. People
even more recently, when cadet died. Rest in peace. The first thing that a random Instagram account that said, "Oh no, he's just shooting a music video about how people only rate you after you passed." Like, it's crazy that we've come so far that we're so immersed in this virtual world that will turn a blind eye to reality.
Has anyone ever done it or faked their death?
Tupac?
You know what? I want that Tupac thing, that Tupac conspiracy. I really want it to be true. Like, he's just hiding somewhere and then he's gonna come out. Like, I really want it to be true. Because, like, it's honestly,
kind of excited before.
Like, honestly, like, if Tupac ever came, like, if it was true that he's still alive, right, I swear, his concerts, I've always wanted to see Tupac live. Like, I feel like we missed a generation there. Like, him.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, Aaliyah as well is another one I wish I could have seen live. Like,
did you see Jussie Smollett and R. Kelly were in the same jail?
Yeah, I know. I saw them. Mad.
They took their pictures next to the same.
Yeah, so someone said that the prison choir is about to be lit.
Dude, man.
The prison choir is about to be lit. Oh, man. No, okay.
What I don't like though is them trying to categorize Jussie in the same like vein as R. Kelly. R. Kelly's a, what do you call it? He's a freaking sexual predator. Yeah.
Sexual deviant, rapist.
But Jussie just told a little lie.
He told a little lie.
More than a little, bro.
But compared to this guy, the gravity of their what you call it, like the offenses are completely different. Well, to say that, but not in the eyes of the law, you know.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, right? In front of everyone, they're two disgraced black artists. At the end of the day, that's just what it is.
Jussie came out, he did his nonsense at the wrong time.
Like, honestly, like, especially with movements that we've been making as well, I feel like there's been quite a bit of progress, right? And then for things like this, like with R. Kelly, and like, it's just, and you know, the annoying thing as well is, like, there's another conspiracy theory, right? This is taken away from the importance of what's going on with 21 Savage.
Right.
Like, what happened with 21 Savage is like a big issue, do you get what I mean? Something that can affect people in the future, right? Especially like young people that, like young immigrants that were moved to America when they were young, like really young, and they couldn't do anything about it. And then this comes up and it just takes everyone away from that discussion. Like, I really hope that he's telling the truth. For all the effort that he's made into it, I really hope he's telling the truth. I just really hope he is.
I've just concluded that if he's lying, he's the biggest fool I've ever seen.
What was that?
If he's lying.
Yeah.
He's the biggest fool I've ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah, what would make you want to mess up the bag? Even a small bag that you're complaining about is a lot.
It's not even 20K, a small bag.
20K per episode.
No, 100K per episode.
It's 100 now.
100. Yeah, maybe 100K per episode.
Fram, what else do you want? What else do you want?
That's why I think it's the money. Like, it can't have been.
You know what? I I think he wanted to
promote an album. Maybe.
Huh?
Yeah, he did drop an album.
Yeah, like
he has an album coming out.
I feel like he's trying to jump on this thing, right? Where, like, you know how like people always saying about this generation, like we're ready, like we get triggered easily.
Right.
I feel like he's trying to jump on that. Like, he comes out, he's a black person, he's like, he's gay as well, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. He comes out, right, as a black gay person, right? Those ticks all the boxes to get a reaction from people. Like, which is why I hope that he's telling the truth, because then it takes a piss, really, from people that actually suffer from this thing. Like, it really does take, I hope it's true. I just hope he's telling the truth.
Wait, but the reason I don't think it can be true is because he said it was like the MAGA people. They will obviously be white. They saw the Nigerian brothers buying ski masks and all those things to cover their face.
Right.
So
yo, bro, it's 2019. Are you assuming they're
are you serious?
Let's just hope it's true, though. Let's just hope it's true. Like, everything is pointed for it to be fake, but let's just hope it's true. No more fake news, man. No more.
And Trump,
even if
let's go.
Yeah, even if we find out it's the truth, right? Now, more than anything, it'll just be a sigh of relief rather than dealing with the actual issues, because the whole thing has been turned into like a mockery. Like,
it's mad.
What I just feel like, yeah, these people do these things. Like, he came out to start crying that, he fought back, If now that he's being accused that it's not true, come out and say that it is. Like, put everyone's mind at rest, whether the law is announcing it or not. Because you did come out to the public to cry.
So why can't you come out to defend?
Yeah, come and tell us if you did it or not.
That's what I'm hoping that. But yeah, I mean personally, from my final thoughts on this, I really hope that he is telling the truth. If he's not telling the truth, then council culture, do your thing. Like, just get rid of this guy, man. That's my final thoughts, though.
Quick last one. Do you think he can bounce back from it?
No.
Are you sure?
Nope.
I feel like everyone can be cancelled for just a certain amount of time.
A certain amount of time, how?
Like, something else will happen and then you'll forget about it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, I mean, if it is fake, then he's going to be in jail for like, what, is it 3 years or something like that? 3 or 6 years?
Yeah.
3 years, so... People will probably forget about him by the time he comes out anyway.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So yeah, what are you guys' final thoughts, though? I mean, you've heard mine.
Mine are, if he's lying, he can share a cell with R. Kelly. And if he's telling the truth, I hope we can get past this whole circus that it's become.
Yeah.
And Soraya from Empire, shout me in it.
Okay, my last thoughts are, if he's actually lying and this didn't happen, I feel like he's taking piss and he just took like 100 steps back for gay people and the black people and all, like, it's just all those, he's just taking the piss and he deserves the worst if he's lying. I think they should take away his verification, honestly.
Make him a commoner.
And then if he's telling the truth, I don't feel like they're gonna be able to get past it and like focus on the real issue.
Right.
Like Jordan said, I feel like it's just gonna be a sigh of relief, like, oh, he wasn't lying over. That's the end of it.
Yeah, true.
Me personally, right, I feel even if he's telling the truth, it's like his credibility is gone.
Right.
So like because of what's happened, people may not want to work with him even regardless, like if he leaves Empire and stuff, because there's so much like gossip around his name now,
right,
that people will be like, oh, maybe I don't want to work with him. So either way, it doesn't work for him. Mm. So probably if they find out that he is telling the truth, it'll just be a thing of like him getting the vindication that he wanted, but like his career is kind of done. Yeah, it's done.
Like, done. Imagine seeing him in a movie. You say, oh, that's that nigga that was.
Nah, he'll probably have a biopic though, innit?
We should keep it.
A couple of years he'll have like.
In the biopic.
My survival.
Are we just going from.
No, I'm saying if he's telling the truth. If he's
telling the truth.
If he's telling the truth, yeah.
That'd be
then he'll have a biopic and everything.
Not gonna lie, that would bang.
Man said that would bang.
I took on the system and won. But yeah. Alright, guys, thank you for listening to this short segment. If you want us to do more of this, you know, focusing on just one particular issue in the news, let us know what stories that you have for us. Once again, go and follow us on Debate. That's at RT Debate on Twitter. Please follow us, it'll be really appreciated. And yeah, so that's bye from me, Dami.
And me, Jordan.
Me, Joshua. Me, Samuel.
Nice one. Nice one.
You guys are terrible. You guys are terrible at podcasting.
And me, Samuel.
Yeah, so thank you guys. See you later.
Yeah, hold it.